We're going to be spending some time today, Mirz Hashem, on the Ran at the beginning of Masechet Pesachim. And there are a number of different paragraphs here in the Ran that we're going to focus our attention on. But before we do that, I want to mention a Ran that comes a little bit later. It's on the same daf, which is called Aleph Omer Aleph. That's how it works in the Rif. But I think it's a little bit later. Let me just see your hand that. I'm not sure. Did I give you this run or not? No, this run I didn't give you. Anyway, it's just a two-liner. So if you don't have the run inside, you'll listen bel peh. The run says the following. Kosav arayvid zal. Dimishum hochi nokat or. So let's try to understand what bothers the Ravid, and then we'll see his answer. The Mishnah says, Arli Arbosar. And the Gemara goes through a long, long sugya to figure out what the word Ar means. And the Gemara vacillates whether it means night or day. Rav Huna is going to say it means day, and Rav Yehuda says it means night. And finally, after a very long, swirls in the sky, finally the Gemara comes to the conclusion that the word R means Lila. So the Raven wants to know the following. Why did the Mishnah have to confuse us and use the word R? Why didn't the Mishnah just say Lel Arbasa, like it does in other places? The Raven wants to assume that although there's something called Lishna Ma'alya, the Gemara says that a person should always speak in the most sensitive way, that he's choosing his words carefully, and therefore R is is much of nicer or finer of a language than Lila. But nevertheless, the Rav doesn't think that in and of itself would justify using the word R. There's got to be some halachic significance to the word R. So the Ravid says the following: Mishum hochi nokat or lomar shebetchilas halayla sheyesh bo or dayan roy lebedika. So just to translate the words at this point, because I unfortunately didn't photocopy that part of the Ran for you, the Ravid is quoted as saying that the bedika should be implemented betchilas halayla, and that's derived from the word R. The Mishnah deliberately used the word R because adayin yesh R. It's a tchilas halayla. There's still some light on the horizon, some reflected light. Now the Ravid says, why is it that we should start the bedika b'tchilas halayla? So first he gives an answer, kidei shelo yisrashel, that maybe he'll delay his bedika. Then he says, Oshalo Yishkach, maybe he'll forget it entirely about his bedika. And he says, Kemen Ba'osa Shah, Yeshba Ar, therefore Tana Ar. So he chooses the word Ar to tell us that the bedika should be implemented B'Tchilas HaLaila. Now, what is Tchilas HaLaila? If you take a look in the poskim, I don't know if anyone has a Mishnah Brewer in front of them. The first Simon in the laws of Bedika is Tuf Lamed Aleph. So we take a look at a simon which is called Zman Bedikas HaChometz. The Mechaber codifies this and he says, B'tchilas Leil Yedalet B'Nisan Bod Kimes HaChometz L'Araner, etc., etc. And that seems to be a quote from the Ravid, meaning the Ran in the name of the Ravid. But here we have a Machlokas. What exactly is Tchilas HaLaila? So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah number Aleph, he says, Perush, Tekef Achar Yitzias HaKochovim, Sheyesh Adayin Tzas Me'or Hayom. And then he quotes the rest of the Ravid, Sheroi Lahaskil Livdok, Kidei Shelo Yisrashel, O Shelo Yishkach. Word for word. Now let's just put this on the side for a minute. And if you open up the good old fashioned Shulchan Aruch that we used to open up back in the day before the Mishnah Berurah was published, you'll see the following. He says, "B'tchilas le'el yada." The Magen Avraham says, "Perush samuch l'knisas halayla." What does that sound like to you? Is it before? It doesn't sound like it's after Tzeisach Kochav. I mean, there's a little bit of light in the background, but it's samuch l'knisas halayla, which would mean bein hashmashos. Now, the super commentary on the Magen Avraham is the Machzis HaShekel, who starts by saying samuch, which is a quote of the Magen Avraham, Daran b'shem arayvid diek midetnan oral yudalit bodkim upirish hashas v'lisnei leil yudalit. It should have said laila u'mishani mishum lishna mi'alya kasha leil arayvid mishum lishna mi'alya roi l'tana l'sum choshech li'or. In other words, Lila indicates darkness, or indicates light. So he went from one extreme to the other just for the sake of Lishna Mi'alya. El Akarchach, he's teaching me Halacha. Divitchilas Halayla, Sheesh Bo Or, Adayin Roy Livdok. Now again, it's very interesting. The Machzis HaShekel calls it Tchilas Halayla. The Magen Avraham says Samach L'Knisas Halayla. There's a certain difference in language over here. Then he goes on to say, "Umikana tolomet shebedika tzarech lahakdimo im or hayom." Hainu kodem Tzeisach Kochav. So initially, the Machzis HaShekel thought that the simple reading of the Ran would indicate that you wait till Tzeisach Kochav. But then he goes on and says that the Magen Avraham seems to indicate that already at Bein Hashmashos he should start his bedika. And then he writes, "Aval b'sefer Chaya Adam u'b'sefer Eliyahu Rabba cholkim u'be'ina dafka li'achar tzeisa kochavim v'kos v'sheyesh l'chavim kain gam b'kavonis arayvim." So again, it seems like the Magen Avraham understood the Ravid is saying that even before Knesis HaLayla, meaning during Bein HaShemashis, you should implement the Bedika. But the Chayodom and the Eliyahu Rava, they insist that you should wait till after Tzeisach Kochav.
It also sounds like it's a different word, and some of them says that it's still good, and the other one says it's preferred. One says Adayim.
Right. When is the time for Bedikas Chavetz? Is it before Tzeisach Kochav, or is it after Tzeisach Kochav? Now on the page here we have something called the Chok Yaakov. Chok Yaakov writes, "Mashma da Bedika Tzricha Lios Bolaylo Mamish V'lo Bein Hashmashos Rakli Achar Tzeisach Kochav V'Av Sheyesh Adayin K'tzas Or." So if we line up the shitas, it works out like this. The Chok Yaakov, together with the Chaya Adam and the Eliyahu Rabba, they all hold that you have to wait till Tzeisach Kochav. The Magen Avraham, the way he's interpreted by the Machzis HaShekel, says that already in Bein HaShemashos, he should be bodek his house. The Gra also says Bein HaShemashos. Now, what I don't have in front of me, so you'll have to trust me on this one, is the Keser Rosh. The Keser Rosh is a compilation of Minhag Agra. And it says that the Minhag Agra was actually to do the Bedika at Bein HaShemashos. So then we have not only the Magen Avraham, but we also have the Gra. And they insist on Bedika b'Bein HaShemashos. So we don't know what the Ravid means when he says Tchilas HaLayla. What we do know, he means that we derive from the word Or, that there's still light there, and it should be early. How early? Is it after Tzeis or before Tzeis? That seems to be a major issue here in the post. Now, Rabosai, here's what I want to ask you. According to the Ravid, the Mishnah went out of its way, and the Ravid was again very bothered by the choice of the word R. You know, he's not satisfied, he's not comfortable with the Lishna Ma'aliyo. To use the word R, to tell me what? Tchilas Alayla. Let me ask you a question. We have a rule of mitzvos, of Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvahs. And that rule applies to any mitzvah. Why would the Mishnah have to go out of its way to apply the principle of Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvahs to Bedikas Chametz? You'll tell me it's a Darabonah. We have many Darabonahs, so we always apply the principle of Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvahs even to a mitzvah Darabonah. What I'm trying to push for, this is my agenda for today, is that there may be a specific reason that the halacha requires tchilas halayla and bedikas chametz, and that reason is not some sort of general universal principle that applies to all mitzvahs, but it applies in the case of bedikas chametz in a very unique way. Again, I haven't even dreamt to answer the question why. That's step number two. But at least step number one, for example, if let's say I implement a mitzvah like Ner Chanukah or Mikra Megillah, which are the Rabbanans, without Zrizus, you know, I delay, I take my time, I push it off for an hour, another hour, whatever it is. Okay, in Chanukah it's a very iffy kind of enterprise because of Achat Tichla Regem and Ashur. So would you say that I have forfeited a chunk of the mitzvah? In other words, would you say that the mitzvah, because I didn't do bezrizus, is lacking in shlemus ha-mitzvah, something incomplete about the mitzvah? No. I missed out on zrizim akdim le-mitzvahs, but you have to grant me my mitzvah is a complete mitzvah shlem. I'm not missing any detail, even if it's a l'chatchila detail, in the mitzvah itself. What would be in bedikas chametz if I don't start my bedika b'tchilas halayla? I'm not so urgent about it. I'm laid back. So again, I forfeited zrizim akdim le-mitzvahs. Am I missing something in the mitzvah itself? Let's open up the Rambam and we'll see how he codifies the halacha of bedikas chametz. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz u'Matzah. In Perek Gimel, we're going to have to come back to the Rambam in Perek Gimel over and over again, because the Rambam opens up Perek Gimel with the laws of Bedikas Chametz that we're going to be studying, and the Rambam says the following: Kishebodek Adam u'machapes b'leil arbasar. He should look for his chametz on the night of Arbasar. And then he goes on to tell you where to look and so forth and so on. Where does he tell you about the zman of Bedika? So first of all, the Rambam says that, this is very interesting, in Halacha Hey, Misha Shachach Ohizid Velo Bodak Belel Arbasar. What would you say about such a case? He didn't check his house Leil Arbasar. What should he do in such a case?
Check it before Pesach.
Yeah, Bodek B'Shachris. Okay, Lo Bodak B'Shachris. Bodek B'Shas HaBiur. Lo Bodek B'Shas HaBiur. Bodek B'Tocha Chag. Ova HaRegel V'Lo Bodak. Bodek Acher HaRegel. So the Rambam has a bedika before Pesach, and the Rambam has a bedika after Pesach, in the event that he didn't check his house during Pesach. Then Allah Chavav, the Rambam writes, Kishabodik HaChomets B'Leil Arbasar, O biyomar basar, o betocha regel, nevarech kodem sheyaschil livdok. Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam shekitzonu mitzvos tzitzonu al bir chametz. V'im bodak li achar haregel, eino mevarech.
It's just for the sake of chametz ravalav Pesach. It's not a bedika for Pesach.
Okay, you're 90% of the way there, Yosef. I want you to go the extra 10%. You're right, 100%. The bedika after Pesach, the Rambam says explicitly, is kedeshi yavayer matzinim to mechametz ravalav Pesach, which is also Rana. On that bedika, the Rambam says you don't make a bracha. Now my question to you is the following. What's the difference between bedika before Pesach or even on Pesach where you make a bracha and bedika after Pesach where you don't make a bracha? In other words, the Rambam doesn't tell you that one bedika is doraisa and it deserves a bracha and the other bedika is derabbanan. He doesn't go into detail about that. But I believe that there's one major conclusion that we should derive from the fact that bedika before Pesach or on Pesach requires a bracha, whereas bedika after Pesach does not have a bracha.
Yisur kari.
Okay, no, I understand what you're saying. That the Yisur on Pesach is an Yisur kari, so the Yisur after Pesach maybe is only an Yisur lav. We have to know what the Rambam Shita is. That's going to be Machlokas in the Gemara, so we have to know how the Rambam Paskins. But are you... I'm asking you to shtel on the difference between a mitzvah that gets a bracha and a mitzvah that doesn't get a bracha. Do you know what I have in mind?
It's not a mitzvah.
Well, the Rambam does seem... It's not what kind of a mitzvah? You have to divide the mitzvahs into two categories. What's the most basic? Okay, maybe you'll tell me. But that's not what I have in mind. But what's the most basic distinction between two categories of mitzvahs? I'm just quizzing you.
Kiyumit v'chiyuvi.
Well, you know, kiyumit as opposed to a lav in the Torah. Right? If we break down the mitzvahs, the Tariq mitzvah, into two categories, we have isurim and we have mitzvahs. Now, what's an afkamin as far as bracha is concerned? You only make a bracha on what? On a mitzvah, not on an isur. There's no bracha on isurim. So, for example, if here's a piece of non-kosher meat, and the Torah says I'm not allowed to eat it, I'm not going to make a bracha on the fact that I don't eat it, because that's a bracha on an isur. For example, the Rosh in Masechet Ksuvos asks the following question. The Gemara says here, it's hard for me to pick up all these svarim, so if you don't mind, open up to Daf Zayin Omer Aleph. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rav, at the bottom of the page. What does it say there? Okay. Oh, that's all I need. Habodek Tzarech Sheyivarech. So the Rosh asks, what was the Havamina? Why do I need Rabbi Yehuda? It's Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rav, if I remember correctly?
Yeah.
Why do I need Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rav to be my... Why do I need Rabbi Yehuda to be mechadish to me that Abodik Tzorch Shivarach? Why is it different than any mitzvah? Any mitzvah deserves... Kol HaMitzvah Kulu B'Varach Aleim Over L'Asi Yosan. And if you'll tell me, says the Rosh, because it's a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, well, we make a brach even on a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, like Megillah and Chanukah, or on Leil Pesach, which mitzvah d'Rabbanan we make a brach on? Mara is only Durabana Bisman, is it? So the Rosh says, you know what the Havamina was? The Havamina was to equate Bedikas Chametz with Bedikas Toloiv. I check this fruit or this vegetable to make sure there are no bugs in it. Do I make a brach on that Bedika? No. Says the Rosh, why don't I make a bracha on Bedikas Toloim? Because Bedikas Toloim is not a mitzvah saseh, it's a mitzvah lo saseh. It's not a kiyum, it's an isur. I'm not allowed to eat this fruit because it has bugs in it, or it might have bugs in it. So I'm avoiding an isur. Himanus, I'm trying to avoid an isur. Himanus mi isur doesn't deserve a bracha. So whenever you're involved in an action to avoid an isur, you drop the bracha. If you're involved in an action which is a kiyum, then you make a bracha. Well, let's go back to the drawing board now. The Rambam says that on a bedika after Pesach, to make sure that I don't get involved with Chametz Shalva Pesach, I don't make a bracha. So what do we see from this Rambam? Why do you drop the bracha? The answer is, there's no mitzvah. It's an Iser. What we have to do is make sure that we don't have any takola with a Chametz Shalva of Pesach. So if you're just avoiding a takola, it becomes like bedikas toloim, and therefore it doesn't get a bracha. Masha enkein, the rest of the bedikas, whether it's leil arbos or if you forgot shachris, pshas abir during the tochach regel, what's common to all those bedikas?
You'd be mekayim tashbih.
Exactly, it's not just that he modest me lav, but it's also kiyum and mitzvah tashbisu. That's what you meant, Yosef, right? I'm just spelling out what you meant. I just you left out that last 10%. That's what I tried to fill in. Well, so Rabosai, if that be the case, let me ask you the following question. If the Rambam has a Bedikas Chametz after Pesach without a bracha, in order to avoid a violation of Chametz Shavuot of a Pesach, does that element of Isur apply exclusively to the Bedikah after Pesach? What about the Bedikah during Pesach or Erev Pesach? Leil Arbos. What would you say?
I mean, you still have an Isur.
Correct, you still have an Isur with a Kal V'chomer. If the Rambam has a Machayev of Bedikah because of the Isur of Chometz Shavuot of Pesach, is Kal V'chomer ben Benoshel Kal V'chomer that the Rambam would have an Isur in the Bedikah avoiding Chometz the Oraisa with an Isakares, as you point out. But the Rambam says that although the element of Isur would not generate a bracha, we have a bracha nevertheless because there's another element. What's the other dimension to B'dikas Chametz? It's the Kiyum of Tashbisu. So it means we now have two dimensions to B'dikas Chametz. We have the Kiyum and we have the Isur. The Kiyum requires a bracha, and that's going to be fulfilled any time up to the end of Pesach. And there's also an Iser element. And the Rambam says that Iser element, to avoid an Iser by being bodek and destroying your chametz, that continues even after Pesach. So whereas the Kiyum only exists erev Pesach and throughout Pesach, the Iser extends after Pesach. The Bedika becomes an Iser. So when you get to after Pesach, the Rambam says you're facing in front of you a situation of a bedika that on the one hand has no kiyum to it, there's no tashbisu, but on the other hand it has an iser element to it. And what's gemina nafkemina? What happens when I strip this bedika of the element of kiyum and I'm left with the element of iser? I drop the bracha. Now, if there are two elements in bedika, there's a kiyum and a mitzvah of bedika, and that requires a bracha, but there's also an Iser element in Bedika, then let's postulate the following. The Iser tells me that I'm not allowed to maintain chametz. Now, when you say you're not allowed to maintain chametz in your house, that simply is another way of saying bal yirah bal yimotzeh. But we're not talking about Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh here. We're talking about the mitzvah Tashbisu. So the mitzvah Tashbisu says the following. I don't care whether you violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh or not. Do you have chametz in your possession, in your house? Is there a premise, a chazaka, that since the whole year round you brought chametz in there, there's still chametz in there? Then you're not allowed to leave the house with the chametz inside. We don't want you living in the house with chametz. So again, on a Doraisa level, it means that if you possess chametz in or out of your house, you violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. On a Darabonan level, as far as Bedik is concerned, and maybe even on a Doraisa level, that's what we want to check out today with this Ran, there's zero tolerance for a bias that is built in Bedik. It doesn't have, it didn't have Bedikah. And if you leave your house without bedikah, then you're violating an Isur bedikah. In other words, bedikah has two elements to it, as we said before. It has the element of kumvase as a kiyum, and it also has the element of avoiding an Isur. What Isur? So you'll tell me about your Rabbi Motzi. No, there's no Bali Rabbi Motzi. The Rambam has it even after Pesach. There's no Bali Rabbi Motzi after Pesach. And even during Pesach, I'm not sure there's Bali Rabbi Motzi because I did Bittul, let's say. I mean, again, that's going to be the big machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfot, how to understand Bedikah. But certainly, according to Tosfot's Shita, he already did Bedikah. I'm sorry, correction. He already did Bittul. So he's already protected himself and avoided Bali Rabbi Motzi. But the Rabbanan don't tolerate leaving chametz around the house. If that be the case, Rabbosai, then maybe the Ravid is saying something very far-reaching. He's not just saying Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvahs, I want you to start your bedikah at your earliest possible time. He's going a step beyond that. He's saying that bedikah is not just a kiyum, it's also an iser. You have to avoid the situation in which you have chametz in your possession. And if that be the case, it's very urgent. Because every moment that you delay, you're holding on to a bias built in baduk. And therefore you're violating that Isur. We'll give you a chance to do it down the line. But that's not the way the mitzvah was formulated. The mitzvah of bedikah was formulated in such a way that the halacha requires you do the bedikah urgently. That's part of the mitzvah of bedikah. We're not talking about zrizim. We're not talking about some external kind of extra embellishment to the mitzvah. We're talking about the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah itself has to change the status of your bias from a bias without bedikah to a bias with bedikah. And that status change has to take place urgently, immediately. Technically, maybe you should do it on Yud Gimel, on the 13th, even before you get to, if you get to Leil Yudalit. But the Gemara has a principle, that bedikah has to be Liara Ner, and Ara Ner Yafal bedikah means only when it gets dark out, and therefore, we wait till it gets dark. The Ran adds another element here, and he says that according to the Sifra, when it says Ushmartem, it means that you have to guard your house that it shouldn't have chametz in it. And he says that that means the entire day of Yudalid bin Nisan is included under that mitzvah of Ushmartem. And really, again, he says you should start the bedikah already on Yud Gimel. But he says he can't start on Yud Gimel because ain't or near Yafal bedikah. And therefore, mikanat alomet shetzach lakdimo, even though this arayom. So if we get back to the Ravid, and the Ravid is worried about him being misrashel, what he means is he's worried about if you don't have the right attitude and you don't do the bedikah immediately, urgently, then you might violate this Isur. And what's the Isur here? That the Rambam says we dropped a bracha after Yontif because it's only an Isur. The answer is the Isur is Shehias Bayis Bilti Baduk. You're delaying the change in status of your bias into a bias built in baduk, to make it into a bias baduk. Now at this point, if you have the Ran open, I want to show you two Gemaras and tell me if there's a problem here. Turn for a moment to Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, about 15 lines up from the bottom, says, "Boy minei mi Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak hamaskir bayis lechaveru bar basar al mi livdok al hamaskir livdok dechamir di dehu odil al asocher livdok di isurei bershusei koi." So there's a maskir and a socher. the chametz in the house belongs to the maskir. He's the balabas. But now he's renting it out. And now the socher is going to live with this chametz. And the Gemara wants to know who has to do the bedikah. Is it the maskir because it's his chametz? Is it the socher because he's living with the chametz? And the final maskun of this sugya, which you'll see about seven lines up before the bottom of the omud, is the following. Tnina. Hamaskir by Slechaveru im achalom masalom aftechos chalar bosar ala maskir livdov imichem masalom aftechos chalar bosar ala socher livdov. Who's holding on to the keys at the time of the Knisa of Yudalit? If the maskir is still holding on to the keys, he hasn't yet delivered them over to the socher, then he, the maskir, at that point is chayav in bedika. If, on the other hand, the maskir already handed over the maftechos to the socher before chalos Yudalit, then the socher has to do the bedika. So Rav Bosa, if I would ask you the following question, according to the sugya, and we can take a look at the poskim, we'll see how this is paskin in Shulchan Aruch. What is the critical moment? Pinpoint a critical moment on the clock, on the calendar, when the chiyuv bedika emerges, and what would it be? Chal Yudalit, when Yudalit enters. So far, so good. John, you look a little perplexed there. Are you with me? I don't know. I don't know how to read your facial figures. Yeah.
Pretty explicit.
And again, we can look it up in Shulchan Aruch. Maybe we'll take a minute just to do that. All right. I'm not finding it now. Oh, there it is. Maybe that's Novates. Let's see what he says here. Toflamit Zion, I think it says, if I read it correctly. So let's just open up and see if we can find this in Toflamit Zion. Yeah. Hamaskir Bais Lechaveh Litzorach Yudalit Umimenim V'yelech V'kanohu B'echem Me'adrochem Shaschiris Karka Niknes Bo Im Ad Shalom Asalom Avteach Al Yudalit Al Hamaskir Livdo. Because the maskir is still holding on to the maftechos when Yudalit enters. If the mask is still holding on to the maftechos, if the mask already transferred the maftechos over to the socher before the chalos Yudalit, ala socher livdok. So the critical moment, and this shouldn't shock us, shouldn't surprise us, that determines or generates the chiyuv bedika is going to be the entry of Yudalit. Mishachal Yudalit. Now turn to Daf Vav Amud Aleph, and you get a whole different perspective. You're counting up approximately 12 lines from the bottom. The first word in the line is Mivdal Bedili in Shemina. You have that?
Yeah.
Omar Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Hamafarish Vayotze B'Shayara. In other words, was he in the house at the time of the Chiyuv Bedika? Let's say today is Tu B'Shvat. Okay, it's not Tu B'Shvat. Yesterday was Tu B'Shvat, right? So I'm off only by one day. So Tu B'Shvat, I was in my house. Now I check out of my house. Do I have to do bedika before I leave? Obviously not. There's no chiyuv bedika on Tes Vav Bishvat, especially this year. We're far away from the chiyuv. The chiyuv we just established on Daf Dalet is chal on Leil Yudalet. So now take a look at the Gemara. Kodem Shloshim Yom. Ain't Sarch Levire. If he leaves before Shushan Purim, then he doesn't have to do Bedika. But Tov Shloshim Yom Zokuk Levire. If he leaves within the 30-day period after Shushan Purim, he has to do Bedika. Once again, let's look at this up in Shulchan Aruch. What does he say over there? Number Hey? Or is it number Ches? I can't say.
The Rambam?
No, no, I'm looking at the Shulchan. Since we're using Mishnah Berurah, let's use the Shulchan Aruch here.
Taf
Lamed Vav.
Aleph and Bet.
Okay, let's take a look. Hamafarish miyaboshaliyam yotzim shayaravino miniyaf bebeisam mishayivdok. He has no one to implement the bedika. He's not leaving anyone behind. No prison is behind. It's tov shloshim yom. If he leaves after Shushan Purim, is zakuk livdok. Korim shloshim yom, ain't a tzarek livdok. But we'll say, so what's the critical moment for the chiyuv bedika? Shloshim yom. Wait a minute. On the dalet om and alef, we said the critical moment is your dalet. So if the maskir is holding on to the, if the, let's say the maskir gave over the maftechas on Yudalid, well, let me ask it the other way around. If the maskir is holding on to maftechos on Yudalid, let's say Tzeisak Rochom Yudalid, then the maskir is chayiv in bedika, right? I don't get it. What about Shushan Purim? What happened the last 29 days? The maskir was holding on to the keys, right? Well, forget about maskir. Let's say Yotzei B'Shayarev. If he has no, he's not renting out the house. He's going to leave his house. He's going to Miami Beach, Florida, right? He's going to Boca Raton. Nobody goes to Miami. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, Deerfield Beach. He's going. All right. So he's holding on to the maftechas. So he gave over the maftechas before Leil Yudal. And now the socher is chayiv in bedikah. Why? The maskir should be chayiv in bedikah. Had he taken a trip to Chutz Laaretz, he'd be chayiv in bedikah as long as he's mefarish within the 30 days.
It's not his property once he's given over the keys. It's still his property before.
No, but I'm asking a different question. I'm asking, can you just give over the keys and fork over, you know, and forfeit or exempt yourself from a mitzvah that you're obligated in? If I'm obligated in the mitzvah, I can't just say, well, I'll give you the keys, you do the mitzvah. In other words, the answer to that problem has to be that there is no chiyuv bedika during that 30-day period. If there's a chiyuv bedika, he has no right. Tosfos, for example, here on Daf Dalet, says that once you chayiv in bedika, you can't give up that chayiv bedika. He says the following. Lekach mefarish ri, this Tosfos in Raskel, ala maskil. Again, we're going to get into the details when we get to this sugi, but he says, the chamir di day, the maskir owns the chum. It's v'chal of chayiv bedika shah achas, kodem shiskira. In other words, according to Tosfos, once the Chiyuv Bedika was Chal, then he can't just give over the Maftechas, he's obligated. Right. You can't be Mafkia the Chiyuv just by giving over the keys. The answer is that you gave over the keys before the Chalos Chiyuv, so you would have a Mechuyuv, and therefore the Socher is Chayiv. But that indicates, as we said before, that the critical moment of the Chiyuv is the moment of Yudalit. So what do we do with Mafarish V'yotzei Shayora? Mafarish V'yotzei Shayora is Chayav if he's within the 30-day period of Bedika. That's a full month before you down. Is everybody following my question? There seems to be what we call an apparent contradiction here. When does the Chiyuv Bedika emerge? Is it Leil Yudalid or is it Shloshim Yom?
You see, there's a difference because you don't make the broch if you do it before Leil Yudal, and if not Leil Yudal, you do. So there's something wrong.
So what it means is the following. There are two dimensions to bedika. There's the kiyum mitzvah, and then there's the iser that you're not allowed to leave a bias without bedika. As far as the kiyum bedika b'taris kiyum mitzvah is concerned, what is the crucial moment that determines, generates the kiyum? Leil Yudal. As far as the Isur of not leaving a bias without Bedikah is concerned, the Chiyuv, or I should say the Isur of Shehiyas bias, Beli Baluk, emerges with what? Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Chag. So in the case where I'm leaving my house and there's no one to do the Bedikah for me on Yudal, so then I don't have the Chovas Gavra of a Kiyum HaMitzvah Bedikah because I'm not in the house on Yudal. But nevertheless, once the chiyuv is chal on the bayis, as far as the iser is concerned, I'm not allowed to leave the house bilti baluk. In the case of maskir v'solcher, the issue is which gavra is chayiv in the mitzvah b'dika. And the answer is it all depends on yudah.
So if you're not leaving the house, is there an iser not to be baluk a month before?
What I'm suggesting is that if you're not leaving the house, then we allow you to remove that iser such that you won't live in the house with chametz. Why? Because you're going to do the bedikah on your dalet. But in a case where you're leaving the house and you will not be able to achieve this transition or transformation of the house from a house without bedikah to a house bedikah because you're not going to be there and there's no one to do the bedikah for you, then you're not allowed to leave the house in that state where there's chametz in the house. And that's an Isur. As Mitch pointed out very well, I'm not going to be making a bracha on that bedikah because that bedikah is equal to the bedikah of the Rambam when? After Pesach, right? Because the Rambam says after Pesach you don't make a bracha. So we have now two cases that fit into the Rambam's description where the bedikah exhausts itself in a himanus to avoid the violation of the Isur Shiyas Bayis. One is after Pesach because of Chametz Shavuot Pesach, and one is 30-day period before Pesach because there too, since you're within that period of time, you already have an Isur Shiyas Bayis bilti baduk.
I misunderstood what was happening here. Initially, when you said that you can't leave the house, not baduk, I think you meant you can't let the house remain.
Correct.
Rather than exit.
Right.
Okay, now you're talking about exiting, because if you never exit, you still are over on this hypothetical Isra not to be baidik.
Right.
Right?
Right. So and if you remain in the house within
still,
that 30-day period,
you still have the Isra, right? Even if you have to do it even after whatever it is, right?
Correct. Correct, but if you're going to be there, if you intend to stay, then we'll rely on the fact that you'll do the bedikah on your dalet. But if you're not going to be there, and there's not going to be any bedikah on your dalet,
so if you intend to stay and you don't do the mitzvah bedikah, you don't do the bedikah on your dalet, then you're over on that.
Correct.
As well.
Correct.
But if you don't intend to stay, then.
Then what you're left with is the iser of being masha abayis b'leib bedikah.
Masha, regardless of your leaving.
Regardless of your leaving. Because at that point already, that iser clamps down. And that iser is
chal. That iser only kicks in on your dalet, not a month before.
No, it depends what you're talking about. If you're talking about a case where he's going to be in his house, then the iser is going to be dependent upon what he does on Leil Yudalit, because we don't need a bedikah before Leil Yudalit. We can accomplish with that bedikah two things, two goals. Number one, we can accomplish the goal of the Kiyum HaMitzvah, because the Shas Chovoso is Tchilas Leil Yudalit. At the same time, we're in time for converting the bayis into a bayis baduk, and not leaving a bayis bilti baduk. That's in a case where he intends to remain within his house. But in a case where he intends to leave his house, then we're going to say to him, well, there won't be a bedikas chametz on yidalit, so there's nothing, there's no force or energy that's going to convert the bayis into a bayis baduk. Then you have to do that before you leave. You have no choice. But at what point does the bayis generate this iser of bilti baduk, that you're not allowed to leave the house? That's only within 30 days. So if I leave my house in Tu B'Shvat, or for that matter, Purim to Prazim on yidalit, so it's not within that 30-day period, the bias is not a bias as far as bedikah is concerned. There's no even habamina that crosses our mind that there's a bedikah here. There's no even fledgling or seeds of a chiyuv bedikah. Seeds meaning an iser of a bias without bedikah. But once I enter into this period within the 30 days, now I have to worry about leaving a bias without bedikah. If I know that I'm leaving, I'm checking out, I'm not going to be back in time to do the bedikah, then I have to do the bedikah before I leave my house. And all this, Rabosai, is an introduction to the Ravid, that the Ravid says that you have to do the bedikah b'tchilas halayla. As far as the Kiyum HaMitzvah is concerned, you have the whole night to do bedikah. I'm not going to rush you, there's no urgency. There's reason I deem the mitzvahs, but nothing inherent in the mitzvah. But since we have another dimension to bedikas chametz, we don't want to leave the house in a state of shehiyah, of leaving a bayis bilti baduk, that that's going to be the urgency. And perhaps that would explain the Shitas HaGon, which we saw in the Machzis HaShekel interpreting the Magen Avraham, that you should do the B'dik in Bein HaShmashos. That's what the Ravid had in mind when he said R. Why Bein HaShmashos? Because the Rabbanon, since they don't want to leave Yudalid on, they don't want Yudalid to have a bais built Baduk, so they have a problem now. If the Bdika is going to be Chal, it would say Sakochovim, then you already have a violation of Shehiyas bais Baduk, bais built Baduk. But on the other hand, if they start the Bdika too early, then we have a problem because Oraner is not Yofel Bdika at that point. So the solution to this problem is to find a time period that's considered Laila, but yet it's not Laila. What do I mean? It's Laila as far as the Nair is concerned, but yet it's not Laila as far as the Chalos Yudala is concerned. So you've never entered into that period of time when there's an Isur Shehiyas Bais Bilti Baduk. Now you'll ask me, well, wait a minute, what's Bein HaShmashos? Sadarab, I'll ask you what Bein HaShmashos is. Because I don't know what Bein HaShmashos is. I used to think that Bein HaShmashos is Sufik Yom, Sufik Laila. But that can't be true. Because the Gemara says in Menachos that Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama. Which means the latest time for Zrikas Adam on the Mizbeach is Shkia. So it means the day has already ended with Shkia. But now you're telling me, well, it's a Sufik Yom, Sufik Laila. So why is the Dam Nifsal? Oh, it's because of a Sufik? The Gemara doesn't vacillate back and forth as to what the status of the Dam is. So we see clearly, Rabosai, that on the one hand, Bein HaShmashos is Vadai Laila. But on the other hand, for other dinim, like for example, Kriyat Shema, we're going to probably say that you need, you know, B'shal B'chah means when it's after Tzeis HaKochavim. And Bein HaShmashos is not Laila, it's Yom. So that's why when I asked you the question, what is Bein HaShmashos? I meant that very seriously. I wasn't trying to be joking about it. Because Bein HaShmashos is Dorvi Pucho. It's A and not A at the same time. It's an overlap of two mutually exclusive definitions. It's Yom and it's Laila. It's Yom because certain dinim require Laila. For example, if I want to eat my Korban Pesach on the night of Tesvav in Bein HaShmashos, that's a no-no because I need Laila. Bein HaShmashos is Yom. On the other hand, Bein HaShmashos is Laila as far as Psul Dam with Lina in Beis HaMikdash. So what is Bein HaShmashos? Bein HaShmashos has attributes or elements of two different definitions or categories. It's Yom, but it's Laila. So what did the Rabbanan do? As far as the Kiyuma Mitzvah is concerned, of Bedikas Chametz, wait till Tzeis HaKochov. I have no problem. Because the Chalos Chi of Bedika is Chal, it emerges with Yudalit. I'm not going to ask you to be Machtim your Bedika by even 1 minute before Tzeis HaKochov. However, there's another dimension to Bedikas Chametz. And that is avoiding the Isur of Shehiyas Bias. I don't want to enter into Yudalid. Because I wait till Yudalid when we shoot off the gun and now it's Yudalid, it's Tzeis HaKochavim, I've already violated the Isur of Shehiyas Bias Bilti Baduk. So what I want to make sure I do, and that's what the Ran says by quoting the Din of Ushmartem, I want to make sure that the entire Yudalid is a Bias Baduk. So how do I do that? How do I accomplish that goal? The answer is that it's already considered Yudalid as far as the mitzvah bedik is concerned with Bein HaShmashos. Why? Because it's still Or HaNer Yofel Bedik. If it's Or HaNer Yofel Bedik, I can be Mekayim in a full-fledged way my mitzvah bedika with Bein HaShmashos. Because the Ner is still meaningful. So as far as the Kiyuma is concerned, the positive element of Bedikas Chametz, that I can fulfill at Bein HaShmashos. Because Bein HaShmashos initiates Laila, like Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama. And yet the Or HaNer is Yofel Bedika. As far as the Isur of Shehiyas Bias is concerned, Laila does not emerge until after Tseis HaKochav. So the Rabbanan took the two dinim of Bein HaShemashos and they applied both of them simultaneously in the case of Bedika. One din they applied vis-a-vis the Kiyum HaMitzvah, and that's going to be Yudalit after Tseis. And one element that Laila emerges with Bein HaShemashos, they're going to use that din for the purpose of Shehiyah to avoid the Issa Shehiyah's Bayis Bilti Bud. The only problem you'll ask me is if that be the case, how do you make a bracha? If you're saying that it's only considered Laila Bein HaShemashos because of the... No. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. There is no kasha. I asked myself a kasha, and I realized who most of the Levin was never a kasha to begin with. Why? Because as far as the Kiyum Mitzvah is concerned, Bein HaShemashos is already Laila. And that's why I can implement my Bedika in Bein HaShemashos. I don't have to worry about the fact that it still might be Yud Gimel. All I need to solve is the problem of Aron Ner. Once I solve that problem, I'm already into Yud Dalet. But as far as the Iser is concerned, not to leave the house with Chavetz in it, that Iser merges with a different din of Bein HaShemashos, namely Tseis HaKochavim, that Bein HaShemashos is still the previous day. So what is Bein HaShemashos? Is it the new day? Is it Yud Dalet? Is it the old day? Is it still Yud Gimel? The answer is both are true at the same time. That's the beauty and the depth of Bein HaShemashos. On the one hand, we're going to say as far as the Kiyum HaMitzvah is concerned, Asher Kitsharim, it's also Tzivan Al Bir Chametz, that we're going to implement with Bein HaShemashos. And it's already considered Laila. As far as the din of Osu LaHashos Bayis Bilti Baduk, the Rabbanan established that Iser emerges with Laila Mamsh, with Tseis HaKochavim, and here Bein HaShemashos is considered the previous day. So I fulfill my mitzvah, and at the same time I avoid the violation of the Iser. Both are accomplished simultaneously with the Bedik and Bein HaShemashos. That's the Shita of the Magen Avraham and the Gro. As far as the other poskim is concerned, we had the Elio Rabba, we had the Chayodam, and the Chok Yaakov, they all insist you have to wait until Tchilas HaLaila, which means Tseis HaKochav, and that's how they understood the Raivid. There's still a little bit of R on the horizon. They understood that Bein HaShemashos is a Suffolk. We're not going to get involved. We don't want to implement the Vaisa Bedika before it's Vare Laila, and Vare Laila emerges with Tseis HaKochav. Let's go through the Ran inside. The first part of the Ran is a recap of Tosfos. So let's go through the Tosfos. Rashi, as we saw yesterday, says Bodkim Shalo Yavrolo V'Bal Yiro Bayimotze, and Tosfos says V'Koshelari Came on the Tzorach Bittel Kidamrinon V'Gemara HaBodek Tzorach Sheyevatel. So that's the Sugyan Daf Vav, and then we have another Sugyan Daf Dalanom in Beis who with the Rice of Bittel Bal Masagi. The Torah relies on Bittel. So here are the two, A plus B. A says that it's not enough to do Bedika, you have to do Bittel. B says Bittel itself is enough. So we don't understand why you need Bedika if you need Bittel and Bittel itself is sufficient. But there's no question about it, says Tosfos. So when you read our Mishnah, which establishes and formulates the mitzvah of Bedika, we're talking about someone who fulfilled his obligation of Bittel. And if he fulfilled his obligation of Bittel, how could Rashi say, Kadesh lo yavrol of v'bal yiro bayimotze? And the Ran is going to come to the defense of Rashi with a fantastical shita that Rashi's talking about a case where there was no bittel. Tosfos can't tolerate that. What do you mean there's no bittel? Habodek tzorach sheyevatel. Give him a fraskin ponim. Why isn't he doing bittel? So therefore it must be he did bittel. And the Ran is going to say that he didn't do bittel and he's fine. How does the Ran work that out? That's what we want to see. Now, based on Tosfos' attack of Rashi, Tosfos substitutes a whole other approach to understand Bedika, and he says that Bedika is shelo yavo li achlo, has nothing to do with Bal Yiro Bayimotze. He's covered his bases on Bal Yiro, but he's defended himself, protected himself against Bal Yiro through Bittel. But the problem is, even after Bittel, you can't eat the chametz. If you do, you violate Issa Karis, at least on Yontov itself. So the Rabbanu were very nervous. The Torah said it's okay. You did Bittel, go home. According to the Torah, you have a piece of chametz. sitting on your table for the entire Pesach. Doesn't bother anybody. The Rabbanan are very disturbed. And this is the famous principle of Tosfos called Lo Bedilim in Ayinshi. The whole year round he's eating chametz, he might be tempted, inadvertently, even without thinking out, to take this the same pita that he eats the whole year round and put it in his mouth. Get it out of sight. Get rid of it. So the thrust and the goal of Bedikah according to Tosfos has nothing to do with Bali Rabbi Matzah. He's already protected himself from Bali Rabbi Matzah. He did Bittul. It's all because of Shami Yovel Liyochel. So let's take a look at the Ran. Both give us a chometz. Pirush Rashi zal kidei shel yavar bebali rabbi yimotz vehikshu betosus da'kaim alon demidaraisa bebitul ba'al masagi kidei isa begemara v'sof sof lo sagi below bitul. So on the one hand the Gemara says you require bitul, and on the other hand the Gemara establishes that bitul is sufficient. So sof lo sagi below bitul kidamina begemara habori tzor shivata the kevin shekain Hechi Isa Bedika Kidei Shelo Yavar Lo Bali Rabbi Matzah. How could Rashi postulate that the purpose of Bedika is to avoid the violation of Bali Rabbi Matzah? He already did Bittul. Yeshlomar Midaraisa. This is a punchline if you want to underline it. Bechad Minayu Sagi. This is the Ran's breakthrough. That the Torah recognizes two different approaches, two different methods of avoiding Bali Rabbi Matzah. And each one is valid. It's very the rare occasion. You know, Torah didn't give me another option than for Shechita, if I want to remove the Issa Nevela. I mean, in certain kinds of Chatas, so if you have what's called Malika, but then Malika is Matir and not Shechita. It's very rare that the Torah. We have in the case of Get for Misa Sabal. But I wouldn't call that, you know, a good example. If the guy drops dead, so he's dead. So his wife is mutter. But there's only one option if you want to divorce your wife, and then you have to give her a get. Here's a case where the Torah gave you two options. That's the Ran's thesis. Now look, if the Ran wants to tell me that Bittul is a reliable option, I have no problem, no qualms with the Ran. I'm not going to duel him because the Gemara itself says, "Midaraisa b'Bittul ba'al masagi." But now the Ran is saying that the Torah gave us an alternative, and you don't even need Bittul. All you need is Bedika. How does the Ran know? Where does it say in the Torah that we rely on Bedika? So the Ran comes up with a source in the Torah, but if you ask me, it's a little bit of a weak link here. He says the following: the bedika lechudei nami mahanya, bedika alone is enough. Kinamrina lo begemar daf zayin omid beis lior haner minolon. How do we know? What's the source in the Torah that bedika requires or haner? Upashtino lein. The Gemara answers, Mikroi. Oh, okay, Mikroi, that's very nice. Let's take a look at the Kroi on Daf Zayin Omid Beis. If you take a look at the Kroi, you're going to find something that's not very satisfying according to the Ran. Because the Kroi here on the bottom of Daf Zayin Omid Beis are basically Psukim and Yeshayo Anovi and Tzfanya Anovi, where it says by Isa he achapes his Yerushalayim b'neiros, and that pasuk of Neiros is going to be equated with the pasuk in Mishle of Ner Hashem Nishmas Ona. Now Mishle is ksuvim. I mean Tzfanya Chach is Neviim, but even Neviim is called Divrei Kabbalah. That's not Doraisa. In fact, more often than not, when the Gemara brings a source from Navi, it's not even a source. It's really just an asmachta of the alma. It's like a memory device. But the Ran builds his case on this sugya, that if the Gemara is saying that Ara Ner is a requirement of Bedika because of this whole Chagadim Sukkim over there, then it means that Bedika must be Doraisa. Alma, the Bedika Nami Doraisa. So why does he add the word Nami? In addition to what? Bittul. The Chosha Bodak, if a person implemented his Bidika in a Torah, Eino Tzok Levatil. The Torah never required Bittul. And therefore, we can swing back to Rashi and answer Tosis Kasha. Tosis Kasha is, well, he needs Bittul anyway, and Bittul itself is enough. So what are you telling me about Shalom Yavrol about your Rabbi Yimotzi? He says, Shapir Ikal Meimar, the Bidika. The way Rashi frames it, so the entire requirement of Bittul as an addition, a tag on to Bidika, is the Rabbanim Mishum we're afraid that maybe he'll find a Gluski Yefefa. Alright, wait a minute. We're all human beings, as we discussed yesterday, and he made a bdik, he tried to do the best he could, but he missed the Gluski of Faith. Maybe the Gluski of Faith was up on the rafter and then it fell down with a wind. Now he's in deep trouble. Why? Because Daita Ale Rashi says he's not willing, he can't get he doesn't have the gumption to immediately pull out his lighter fluid and
destroy it.
And destroy the chametz. So in that moment that he hesitates, he's shaking a little bit because he's got a beautiful piece of cake over there. Have you seen these birthday cakes today in Israel? I'm sure they have in the chutz lards. You can buy a cake for 150 shekel. It's literally like almost the size of this table. So in my youth, I remember chalas. You remember the long chalas that they give at Sheva Bracha sometimes in a wedding? You know what I mean? Or if you went to a Rebbe's Tish, you know, the challahs were humongous. But now you can get a cake that's humongous. Go ahead and burn that cake. So you hesitate for 1 minute. I would probably hesitate for an hour. I mean, I would just look at it. It's got all the colors of the rainbow. It even says happy birthday to my granddaughter. It's got everything. And I'm going to just burn it? I mean, you have a cash on me because how did such a big piece of cake fall from the rafters? I mean, how did I miss it during Bidika? Anyway, so there was one room that, you know, it was locked up, you know, and I asked around, they told me, you know, nobody's been in that room for the last 9 months, you know, it's a Mokum Shei Mach Nisabo Chavez. Lo and behold, somebody gets the key, and in the middle of Pesach opens up the wall, look at that piece of Chavez there. So therefore, if he hesitates in destroying that Chavez, then he's not covered, because his Bedika, as it turns out, was a faulty Bedika, and he hasn't made Bittul. That's his chametz. He's going to violate Bal Yerov Bal Yematzeh. Again, if he would destroy it immediately, as we discussed at great length yesterday, he would be okay. There's no din of l'mafreya as far as Bal Yerov Bal Yematzeh is concerned, because HaTorah Somcha Al HaChazokas. But Mikam Al HaHava is in trouble. So the whole enterprise of requiring Bittul after he did his Bedika is all Drabbana. Drabbana are afraid of this set of this scenario with the sequence of he missed the Kluski of Faith, he found it on Pesach, and he was hesitant to destroy it. A, B, and C. Says the Ran, if that be the case, Rashi is justified. Because Rashi is going to address a case where he is chayav in Bedika, he does not do his Bittul. On a Doraisa level, Bedika is a requirement, because if he doesn't do Bittul, then the only way he could sideswipe the violation of two lavim d'oraisa by Rabbi Matzeh is by doing a bedika. That bedika, which the Torah recognizes for the purpose of Shlo Yavar Ol by Rabbi Matzeh. You're right. The Rabbani is going to have to do bittul, and once he does bittul, he doesn't need bedika. He's completely protected from Yalav Yovel. From Bal Rabbi Matzeh. The only thing is Shem Yovel Liachla. Okay. But we're not talking about a Drabbanan here. Rashi's talking about a Doraisa. Rashi wants to tell you a Gevaldige Chiddush, that when it says in the Torah Tashbisu, it means do a Bedika, and whatever Chametz you find, destroy. That's what the Torah recognizes. And the Torah is going to rely on your Bedika. And therefore there's no violation of Bal Yerov Bal Yematzeh. But only because you did the Bedika. So Rabosai, when you get back to basics, down to basics, brass tacks, what is the purpose of Bedika? Shelo Yavro Bal Yerobayimot. That's the beautiful Chiddush here of the Ran. Hilkach Shapir Ikal of Meimah De Bedika Basi Kedei Shelo Yavro Ol Bal Yerobayimot. See the Shema Shema Shetzuichu Chachom Bitalach Abedika Eino El Midivreim Shem Yimtza Gluski Yefeich. Umevneisha Ra'isu Vinyoni Bedika Ubitol Dvarim U'Ravim Ra'isi Lefarshan Yofa Yof. So when you have a taroves, and that's going to be the subject of the third parak of Pesachim, you have to sort things out. So he says there's a big taroves here, there's a big bilbul of bittul and bedika, this, that, and the other thing. Now, in the first three paragraphs, following this mipnei, this bombastic introduction, this dramatic introduction, he discusses bittul. And I'll just read a few lines, but we're not going to get into Bittul today. That's a whole different sugya. We're going to fast forward to the round about Bedika. He says, interesting. Elsewhere, the Torah speaks about burning something, about consuming and destroying. And here, the Torah uses the word Tashbisu. What's the connotation? What's the choice of the word Tashbisu? We find a different language elsewhere in the Torah to destroy something, and that is tevaru or tisrafu. Here it doesn't say neither tevaru nor tisrafu, it says what? Tashbisu. What is Tashbisu telling me? Hashbosa shebelev. That's his intellectual, emotional state of hashbasa. And that's called bittul. Now let's fast forward. Do you see a paragraph that starts Shema Tomar? It could be that your breakdown in paragraphs is a little different than mine. You have it?
Yeah.
Shema Tomar, you'll ask me, Yemkein Ein Lanu Min HaTorah Ela Bittul Zeh. Again, he spends a very significant chunk of a paragraph here, Ma'u Inyan HaBittul, to try to explain Bittul. B'li Neder, at some point, we'll go back to Bittul. But here he's asking a more naive question. He's saying, if the Torah says Bittul, and Tashbisu means Hashbosa Shebelev, is Ein Lebdiku Bir Chometz Ikar Min HaTorah Klal? You might argue that there's no basis in the Torah, neither for Bedika nor Bir, because the word Tashbisu is a reference to Bittul. Don't even entertain such a possibility. The Gemara itself vacillates on the following question. How do we know Bedika with an Araner? And the Gemara quotes Psukim, Uchrachim La, that forces the Gemara's arm to come up with Mikroi. Maybe you'll argue Basmachta the Asmachta be Almaninu. Maybe this whole chain of Pesukim is here just an Asmachta. Lesser. That you cannot maintain. Why? Tochazinon Tanoi di Fligu Chomit Zeva Memavara. We have Machlokes of Yudin Chachomim later on in the second parak. How do you destroy the Chomits? You have to destroy it. And that's Rabbi Yehuda. All this is being derived from the Torah itself. Okay, there's another man, the Chachom, say that you don't have to burn it. But Hashpasasa b'chol dorah, yeah, you can destroy it in many different methods, many different ways. But everybody agrees you have to destroy the Chomets. Vidonu mi nosar, we have an analogy to nosar, that the Torah says ba'ish tisrofu. Well, we'll have to come back to this equation to nosar. So on both sides, according to the Ran's thesis, we must derive bedika as a doraisa from the fact that the Torah says destroy the chametz. Now again, the Torah gave me another option of bittul, but the Torah does say that I should destroy the chametz. Haraya, the Tanoim argue, how do I destroy the chametz? Is it this way or that way? And that's all on a Doraisa level. So we see clearly that the Torah itself recognized and validated a bedikah biur process. And that itself is going to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisuth. Elakachu ikram shel dvarim. Shezeh shomer Torah Tashbisu. Yochol is kind the echad mishnei dvarim. O shivatel belibo. Kol chomet sheish perushu siyere v'rachshav to meshusa v'sagi b'hochi v'deraisa. Etc. etc. Oh, im lo bitlo belibo. Just fast forwarding a little bit. Is tzarich min haTorah sheyivdok achra b'chol makom shu ragil imotzei sham chametz v'yavirenu min haolam ubibir zeh nechleku b'meh yivarenu, whether it has to be straight for any other way. Ulaficha kol sheinu mevatel chayav livdok. According to Torah law, he has to do bedika kidei shelo yavar olav b'bal yiroa b'yimotzei. So all this discussion here about Bedika Doraisa, which Rashi says Kadesh Lo Yavrov, that's all B'misha Eino Mevata. Ala Misha Mevata, Sagi Bahachi, it's enough if he does Bittul. So why does he have to do Bedika in addition to Bittul? Element Nesha Bittul Zeh Toli B'machshavtan Shal B'nei Adam. Bittul depends upon your serious decision that you want to part with your chametz, that the chametz is worthless for you. But ain't that those same shovels? No two people have the same das. So we're always worried about someone who might not have a full fledged decision. He's kind of wishy washy about the bittul. The efshashi akilu bekach. People are going to have a laid back attitude, be mekil, be lenient about bittul. V'lo yatzianu b'lima legamre, and they really won't have a full fledged, genuine, absolute decision to get rid of the chametz. Is therefore roch hachamim lahachmir. The Rabbanan saw that we cannot rely on the Torah of bittul, which the Torah itself does rely on, but we're not going to be able to rely on it. Is roch hacham lahachmir shalos yaspik bittul v'tzrichu bedika ubir shehu maspik. In other words, if the Torah accepted and validated bedikah and bir, that becomes an alternative to bittul, and we don't even need bittul. Okay. So what I wanted to do is we wanted to try to figure out, I don't know if we ever came to a definite conclusion, about studying the Haggadah and Leil HaPesach. So I have a sefer here, which I showed you yesterday, that I highly recommend. And now I found out from Rabbi Sachlowitz yesterday that there are another two volumes to the sefer. I didn't know about that, so I got to get myself to a bookstore. My son learns in the Mir Yeshiva, so there's a very good Sfarim store right near the Mir. Maybe I'll ask him to pick up for me the next two volumes. He has my credit card, so it's okay. So I want to start with the Haggadah. And if you'd like, we can photocopy. It's just two pages. Anshei Knesset Hagdola tiknu brachos utfilos v'tiknu gam ikar nusach Haggadah. Now he adds the word ikar. So what we know now is, and we're going to develop this as we go along, that the Haggadah itself has its original, what I call, bare bones, which was established by the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, and then through the course of centuries, Minhagim would add and embellish and expand the basic requirement of the Haggadah. Now this distinction between A and B is very critical, because I want to know what's absolutely required, what's critical in fulfilling my mitzvah of Higadah to Labincha. Whatever the Anshei Knesset Hagdola did, whatever they supplied and formulated, that is my mitzvah of Higadah to. Now, I don't have with me a Sephardic Haggadah, But in Mirtz Hashem Li Neder, I want to show you that, you know, the Sephardic Haggadah, like in all tefillos basically, they add a lot. You know, the Sephardim, more than the Ashkenazim, took what word am I looking for? License? Is it such a word? They took license.
Liberty.
Excellent. Liberty. To enhance that tefillos and expand upon them. Now, he tells you to open up the Haggadah Shlema. If somebody could do that favor for me, to page 171. And he tells you that you're going to find there a distinction between the Haggadah as it was established by the Anshei Knesset Gedolah and the later Minhagim that embellished and expanded the Haggadah. And he writes the following, listen carefully. Nusach HaGadah, kefi shehu lefaneinu lo haya kavua bimei Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel debate a basic issue about how to start the Haggadah. Where is Haggadah begin? Whether it's mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu, or whether it's avodah mayinu lefarav mitzrayim. That's a sugim psachim adaf kuf tezayin. Apparently, there was no set nusach of the Haggadah. They didn't have it. It wasn't kavua bimei Rav and Shmuel. So you understand what's going on? He's saying that there were different formulations of the Haggadah that were extant, that were common, even as early as the time of the Amoraim, of early Amoraim, I mean, Rav maybe even as a Tana. So we go back in history, and we have a basic issue here about whether we start the Haggadah with mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu, which means we're going back to Terach and our humble beginnings, because we don't like to call ourselves, you know, offspring, grandchildren of or descendants of Terach. That's not very complimentary, but at least biologically we are, which means our alta is a... Now the Rambam has a sheet that even Avraham Avinu was worshipping idols in his younger years. Or should we start with Avodah Mayinu? I mean, let's get down to brass tacks. I mean, the whole mitzvah tonight is Chayav Anuliros Tzatzvul Kilu Yotzim Mitzrayim. So it makes sense to start with Avodah Mayinu. Why are we going back to Avodah Zarah? That's a pella. So he tells you that he's going to address that issue in another chapter. We're in chapter Samach Daled. He has a whole chapter on this, which is Ayin Aleph. Were you able to find anything in the Haggadah Shlema of interest, of relevance?
You said to turn to page 171.
Yeah, is there such a thing as 171?
Yeah, it's talking about suffering.
Ah, he's only talking about suffering.
That's the category.
So it could be that he has a different tagiation. Maybe there were different printings of that God the Shlema. Let me just look at it one for 1 second. And just, I assume that if it's suffering, this is not relevant to us. No, He's not talking about this. So that's a little bit of a disappointment for me, because he very often quotes the Haggadah Shlema. So we'll have to figure this all out. 171. I'm wondering, maybe he means... Let me just very quickly, there's another 171, but it's in Hebrew ways. Just want to make sure that that's not... No, I don't think that's all right. Now, he says, "B'meshach hadoros nosfu al Haggadah piskos shonos ad shebitchilas ha'elef hashishi niskabel nusach Haggadah kfi shulufanenu uberov tfutzus Yisrael niskabel hanusach shel Rav Amram Gon." And for example, Rashi accepts the nusach al Haggadah of Amram Gon. And Rav Sajigon apparently has a different nusach. He writes in the footnote that Sidurash Rav Sajigon, so our nusach is Rav Amram Gon. But in the earlier nusach of Rav Sajigon, who cuts er baharbe mi Sidurash Rav Amram Gon. Oh, interesting. So Rav Amram Gon expands the Haggadah of Rav Sajigon, which is very interesting, because Rav Sajigon, if I'm not mistaken, has a very long Kiddush. Do I have it here somewhere? Let me just see. I'm trying to find the Kiddush here. All right, I have to look for it. Let me just see what happens if I turn to Kiddush itself. I don't think that's where it is. See, I think he has it in a separate chapter, but let me just... Okay. So let's see. So he has basically our Nusach HaKiddush. Does anybody want to spend a minute just seeing? He has somewhere a much longer Nusach of Kiddush. I'm not finding now. Well, see if you can flip through it. Okay. Iker chovas ha'agado shetiknu chachamim hu mitchilas avodim ayinu ad ha'reza meshubach. You have it?
Edo Mizrach Kiddush from the Haggadah.
Is it very long?
Yeah, very long.
So that could be Rav Sajigon's Kiddush. That's what I'm wondering.
Says in Bilashan Chachamim. You got the Hiratzon and.
Are you able to print that out for me? Oh, that's complicated. All right, just ask me.
Print it too.
Yeah, to this, we have a printer here, but okay, fine. So he says the following. So what are the main critical elements in the Haggadah? Number one, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avoseinu. Avonim Ayinu, and then call him a Saper, B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, Harezim Meshubach. Then he has Parshas Arami Ovid Ovi, Ad Sofa Parsha. Then he has Pesach Shanu Ochlim, Matzezu Shanu Ochlim, Marzeh Shanu Ochlim, which ends with Bechol Dor V'Dor. And then Osanu Hotzi Misham. And at the end, we have Lefichach, which terminates with the Brach of Gol Yisrael. Shar called Nusach HaGodah, anything that you add, is Minog Shenogu Yisrael Midoros HaRishonim. They're old Minhagim that go back to the times of the Rishonim. But these are all embellishments through Minog. Now what about something like Holach Ma'anya? And that's our opening paragraph. It's not even on his list. The impression you get is that that's a minhag. Now, why would we start the Haggadah with Holach Ma'anya? And I thought the answer would probably be because the pasuk says Bavur Zeh, and it means B'shoshi Yesh Matzu Marim Munachim Lefanecha. So we're going to first introduce the matzah. Shalom Aleichem to the matzah. Holach Ma'anya. Now we're going to recite the Haggadah. But what about Manishtana? Manishtana is not on his list. So I think the answer might be that as far as the mitzvah vigadata, we need the son to ask questions. And the mitzvah has to be fulfilled b'derech shaila tshuva. It doesn't have to be manishtana. Manishtana was a minhag that came in later. But the critical elements are maskil b'gnus, and here on maskil b'gnus, we have machlok shin rav and shvu, whether we go back to the gnus of Avodah Zarah, or we go back to the Gnus of Avodah Mayinu. Next we have Darshaning the Parsha of Aromi of Avi Avi. Then we have Rabbi Gamliel, Matzazu Al Shulman, so forth and so on. And then we have Bechol Dor V'Dor. Now what does he mean by Bechol Dor V'Dor? I think it says in Agada, "Bechol dor v'dor chayv adam liros es atzmo." Am I right? The trouble with all these Haggadahs that I have is that there's so much commentary that you have to turn like 50 pages to get to the next line in Haggadah. Well, let me just see if I can find the Chalda. So here's, I opened up this Haggadah, this is the Moser of Kuk Haggadah, to the Parsha of Arami Ovid Ovid. Now, after Arami Ovid Ovid, what do I have here? Okay, Moragadol, Motsin is fine. This is all around me. Oh, now I have the Eser Makas. Dam Tzvadei Akinen. That's not in the list. But Yehuda, you know, Sim Vem Simon of the Tzachi, that's not in the list. Rabbi Yossi Aglili. This is a long, long piece here. How many Makas did they get? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva. You know, it starts with... with 10, it goes up to 50. From 50, it goes up to 200. I mean, it keeps going. And then we have Dayenu. That's not on the list. Man, I'm telling you, my kids would be very disappointed if they find out that Dayenu is not part of the Haggadah. And then we have Rambam Gamliel. Okay, so that's critical. That's a mission. So Pesach Matzu Mor. Oh, b'chol dar v'dar, chayav adam liras esatzma kilu hu yotze mitzrayim. And that we quote a pasuk, we got it to Levin. So this is a critical part of the Haggadah. And then we end up with l'fichach anatu chayav lahodos. And that terminates with Baruch Atah Hashem, Gal Yisrael. Correct? And that's the end of the bracha of Gal Yisrael. So that's the critical part of the Haggadah. It's just like, I don't know what percentage it is, but I have a feeling that like 50% of the Haggadah is not really part of the Haggadah, it's just later addition. We'll have Mincha now. He says the following, that you can divide up the Haggadah into six different parts. The first is Kiddush, second is Manishtana, the third is the answers, the responses to the four Banim. Number four is Hal before the Suda and Hal after the Suda. Number five is Birchas Hagu'ula, which is after the Hal of Lufnei Suda. And finally, all the Piyutim, and for those who have the minhag of reciting Shir HaShir. So it's very interesting that major chunks of the Haggadah are just embellishments, the other additions that minhagim. Alright, we'll stop here. So let me know, Rabosai, if you're interested in either obtaining the sefer, maybe we could order it, or if you want a photocopy pages, whatever you think is.
This is actually a very long shame you could preach a briefly.
Right.
Because when it gets to the Kiddush, it's pretty much standard.
Ah, so
it's
that's
not the Davi.
Okay, I promise you that there's a long, long Kiddush here. I think it's from Rav Sajig on in the Haggadah Shleim. I just have to take 5 minutes and find it. You didn't find it, did you? It's got to be in here. I know I saw it. I'm not inventing it. I mean, it's been a long time since I saw it. But... Oh, the Dominic.